Thank you for tuning in to Vine Life Connection with host Janine Davis and special guest, Pastor Troy Brewer of Open Door Ministries. Stay tuned for part one of Pastor Troy Brewer's powerful testimony.
Welcome to Vine Life Ministries. I'm your host, Janine Davis, and I'm here today with Pastor Troy Brewer of Open Door Ministries. Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning, Janine.
Let me tell you a little bit about Pastor Brewer. He's founding and senior pastor of Open Door Church. He's known for his relevance and truly authentic teaching style. He's spoken in conferences throughout the world, and as a musician, he put forth or contributed to more than 25 CDs. He's also written several books to include his bestseller, Numbers That Preach, and he writes the syndicated newspaper column, Fresh from the Brewer. Troy and his wife, Leanna, have four children and multiple kids in orphanages throughout the world. He's a sixth-generation Texan and a descendant of Henry Brewer, who fought at the Battle of San Jacinto.
Hoorah!
Hoorah! Oh, Pastor, it's so good to have you in the studio this morning. I just want to start this show with your testimony, because I think it's something that my listeners will certainly appreciate.
Well, thank you. Well, good morning, Janine. I call you blessed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And, you know, one of the things I like to say is I like to say that what I did before I was saved is not my testimony. That's my history. My testimony is that Jesus is absolutely amazing, that he's a deliverer, that he's somebody who sets us free. He's the kindest person in the universe. And it's out of my history that I have come to know the Lord that way. And my history has to do with, you know, it's like a lot of people's testimony. You know, there was a period in my life where I didn't know the Lord. And you know what? I wouldn't say that I was a particularly bad person. Mm-hmm. I would say that I was a very busy person, as I am now. I'm all over the map. And when I was all over the map without the Lord, it took me to, of course, some very dark and some very sad places. And,
okay, so are you referring to when you were a musician, when you traveled?
You know, I became a musician very early in life. My dad was a professional musician, and he still is, and played in my first bands when I was in middle school and did all that kind of stuff. But yeah, you know, there's a side of that that you think is going to bring great happiness, and there is some temporary satisfaction in all of that, but it's very, very, very empty. When I was a ninth grader, a friend of mine and I got together, and we made our first batch of homemade brew. Okay, now my name is Brewer. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was just, like I was living up to my name, I guess. And we started making homebrew alcohol, and we actually got good at it in ninth grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, my senior year. Mm-hmm. And we would sell that stuff. And there was a place in Rhea Vista, Texas, where I was selling it. And when I was 18 years old, there was a dope dealer that came to me and told me, he said, Troy, since you've been selling your Mountain Valley Dew, as you call it down here, since you've been selling that, my dope sales have gone down. Well, I was playing my guitar in the back of my truck, and I started singing the Dope Peddler Blues. Oh, I can't sell my dope. And I started making fun of him. And he said, Troy, I'm not playing. And I said, well, I'm not playing either. And he said, okay. And he left. And I thought, well, I sure told him. And he came back several hours later with several of his friends and nearly beat me to death.
Oh, my goodness.
They pulled me out of the back of my truck and just beat me until I was unconscious. And I put up a good fight for probably 30 seconds, and then there was nothing good about it anymore. I was knocked unconscious, and when I came to, I couldn't tell where I was at. It took a while, and I realized I was in the trunk of a car, and they were taking me for a ride. Oh, no. And I could tell that we were on a gravel road. I could hear, you know, the gravel hitting underneath the truck. Mm-hmm. And I was so convinced that they were going to kill me that I scratched my name in the bottom, you know, in the metal. I scratched my initials TAB so that there would be some evidence that I was in the trunk of that car. They stopped the car, and my heart was about to beat out of my chest. And I had one plan. When they opened up the trunk, I would come out, I'd go Fist City, and then I'd run. That was the only plan that I could think of. And they opened up the trunk and they pulled me out and I hit a guy, and that was when I realized my hand was broke. And it wasn't very long. I was back down on the ground again, and they continued to kick me and kick me and kick me and kick me and kick me. They tied me up. They tied my hands behind my back. They tied my feet. They tied my hands to my feet. And while they were tying me, I realized where we were. We were on a bridge over a river in Johnson County, actually over the Brazos River. And I knew what they were going to do, Janine. I knew they were going to throw me off that bridge into the river. And I started begging for my life. And up until that time, I always thought, if I ever have to look death in the eye, I'll spit in his face. I won't be afraid. Oh, no, it was not like that at all.
I'm sure.
There was a terror that I can't tell you, you know, and it was pathetic. It was sad. It was ridiculous. And they put me up on the big metal beam. And they acted like they was going to push me over. Then they acted like they weren't.
Oh,
then
I see.
Then they pushed me, and off I went.
You were 17 years old.
I was 18.
You were 18.
I was 18.
My God.
They had kicked the eye out of its orbit. My eye was out of its orbit. I'd had my jaw broke before, and they had rebroken my jaw and kicked some of the metal out of my jaw. My hands were broke. I was messed up. I fell off of that bridge and fell. And just about the time that I thought, man, it is a long ways down here, boom, I hit the water, and as soon as I hit the water, I hit the ground underneath the water, and it was like I was frozen in concrete. I was stuck in the mud underneath the water. I could not move a muscle, and instantly I knew my life is over. I'm done. And it didn't take a long time. It was as if there was something inside of me that just began to switch everything off, and at the moment where I was in total darkness, totally helpless, totally sad, unable to move, nothing good can happen. The only possibility of anything happening is me dying. I remembered a scripture for no reason. The word just came to my mind, and the word was, whoever calls upon the name of Jesus shall be saved. Just that's it. Just clearly that word came to me. Now, Janine, when I hit the ground, I hit so hard that the air that was in my lungs went out. So I wasn't holding my breath in. I was holding my breath out. And I didn't think that there was even enough breath in my lungs to even say the name Jesus. And I so wanted to just say Jesus. And all I was hoping for was that would be like a prayer of salvation for me. I was hoping if I say this, then hopefully the Lord will know that I'm trying to ask for forgiveness of my sins. I want to get into heaven. And I was thinking all this. And I finally just said, well, I'm just going to say Jesus, and then I'm going to breathe in water, and then I'll die. And so underneath the water, in that terrible state, I said, Jesus. And then I went to breathe in water. And Janine, what I found is when I went to breathe in water, I didn't breathe in water. I took a deep breath of air, and I found myself standing in the river. The water was chest deep. My hands were in front of me, and I was holding the ropes in my hands. I have no recollection of coming out of the water. There was no sensation of going from unable to move to standing.
Oh, thank you.
I was just standing there in the river.
Mm.
And for a long time, there was no sound. There was no feeling. And suddenly the sounds of the night begin to come in, and I begin to realize where I was at. It didn't feel like anything miraculous had happened. It seemed so natural. I can't even explain it. I just went from here to there in an instant. And it's totally unexplainable. I don't know how to explain it. I don't know what to say about it, except for to say that the Lord saved my life.
Amen.
Now, I'd like to tell you that I got saved that night.
Oh, yeah.
but I bet
you did. Praise God.
But I want to tell you this. You know what, Janine? I really and truly did not give my heart to the Lord that night. I really didn't. The first thought that I had was, I think God just did a miracle. And the second thought I had was, I'm going to kill that person that threw me off of that bridge.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, I was a mess.
Pastor.
I was a mess.
Well, okay, so leading up to the time that you got saved, what transpired?
Well,
it
was that event. I couldn't get away from that. I thought, why did I call out to Jesus? And why would he save me? And it sent me into a track of searching the Lord. And I began to search out the Lord. For the first time in my life, I really began to seek the Lord. And it was about, I would say, 6 to 8 months after that I had an encounter with the Lord in Hot Springs, Arkansas. that absolutely changed my life, where Jesus showed up in my life, where I found him. I didn't realize how dead I was until I became alive. And it was like an atomic bomb went off for me. Everything changed. And everybody that knew me knew everything changed with
Praise
Troy Brewer.
God.
Everybody knew.
Praise
people
God.
People would just come just to look at me, you know, what happened to you? And I'd say, well, you know, I found the Lord. And I was a young man. I was 19 years old. And I was a lot like the demoniac of Gadara, you know. Now that I was clothed and in my right mind, I wanted to leave. I wanted to leave town. I wanted to get out of there. And the Lord was like, no, you know what, Troy? I'm going to do a work with you right there in Joshua, Texas. That's where I'm going to do a work with
Praise
you.
Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. What a testimony.
Yeah.
Boy, I'm sitting here and I'm just trying to hold on to this desk because I want to just get up and just shout.
Oh, he's
Glory
so good.
To God.
He's good.
So he saved you.
He saved me.
His amazing grace.
Yes.
He had mercy upon you.
Yes.
For a time such as this.
Yes.
What a testimony. What a testimony.
You know, I thank God that God sees us in future present tense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's dealing with us right now according to who he knows we will become in the future.
Mm-hmm. And who he preordained.
That's exactly
before
right.
Before we were in our mother's womb.
I
Hallelujah.
Am so grateful for that.
Glory to God.
So grateful.
Did you ever think that you would be in this place, Pastor Troy?
No, really and truly, as a child, you know, I grew up in a good home. And I want to tell you that I believed in the Lord. I did believe in the Lord. I just didn't believe that I could ever walk the walk. I believed in Jesus. I believed in the devil. Mm-hmm. I can remember thinking those things as a child, but I just didn't really believe that I could be, you know, that I could be saved, that I could really walk the walk.
Now, you know, there's somebody out there listening that probably feels the exact same way.
Right.
But isn't that why we have a Savior?
Yeah, that's right.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. I would like to encourage anybody that is thinking that thought, well, you know, I believe in God and all that, but I just can't be that. Listen, you don't know who you can be.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus knows who you can be.
He knows who you are.
That's exactly right.
Hallelujah.
Your emotional state does not dictate who you are. God Almighty gets to dictate who you are. And God Almighty spoke a word into Troy Brewer's life and said, Troy, you're holy, you're clean, you're set free, you are a world changer. And I was from Joshua, Texas. You know, I was from Hickville Central. You
is
know,
it Joshua or is it Joshua?
Well, now see, the old school is Joshua. Okay?
Okay.
But there's not very many of us left that actually say that.
Okay.
So I think the proper way to say it is Joshua.
Okay. All right. Now, okay, you got saved. You had your Damascus experience in Arkansas.
Yes.
Changed your life.
Yes.
Now, at this point, are you playing with the band or you're not playing in a band?
Right. I joined a Christian. I was playing in several bands, and I quit all those bands and joined a Christian rock band. And this was in May of 1986.
Okay.
And joined a Christian rock band and immediately was involved in ministry. Also, on the side, I did work with the Dallas branch of the 700 Club, became a phone counselor with them, got involved in all that kind of ministry. And then also through all the ministry and then through all the music ministry that we were doing, I got to do a lot of recording and I got to be on a lot of people's albums and got to do a lot of fun stuff like that and did some amazing gigs and just thought, hey, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. I'm just going to be a Christian musician and I really enjoy music. I love music and I love worship and I'm an atmosphere
guy. So is it Christian contemporary or Christian rock or is it?
Well, in the late 80s, there was a big argument as to what Christian music should sound like because it was before the big worship revival happened in the early 90s.
Okay.
So the late 1980s, Christian music was the Wild West show. You know, if you were a guy like me and if you were with a label, you would play with a gospel band like the Blackwood Brothers one week, and then you would open up for a band like Stryper the next week, and you just had to be incredibly versatile. You had to be able to play any kind of music because the radio stations that are out there now were not there during the 80s. So it was all over the map, and all that changed in the 1990s and went, and Christian contemporary music turned to more worship-oriented, which was a good move, by the way.
Okay, let's pause a moment on that, and let's discuss your call to ministry.
Okay.
And that would be the food bank.
Yes.
Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, let's talk about that.
Well, God is real smart not to tell you everything you're signing up for. You know, there's Jehovah Sid Canoe, there's Jehovah Rapha, and then there's Jehovah Sneaky, I call that, you know, where the Lord doesn't tell you everything. I love that. It all started for us with my father-in-law called me one day and said, Troy, there's an old man that is roofing a roof. And he was an 80-some-odd-year-old man, and he was so elderly that what he would do is he would take one single shingle, spend half a day climbing up a ladder, get up there and rest, nail down the one shingle, spend the other half of the day climbing down the ladder, trying not to kill himself, and then he was done. And he figured it might take him a year or two to re-roof his house, but, you know, he was going to get her done. My father-in-law noticed this every day, and he called me, and I was still young and felt the need to impress my father-in-law back in those days. And he said, hey, Troy, you need to go over there and you need to help that man. And I said, yes, sir. So I went over there and saw what he's doing, picked up a bundle, just climbed up the roof, started nailing it down. That old man didn't say one single word. I just said hello, and I just started roofing his roof. Then my father-in-law came, then my brothers-in-law came, then my bride came, and they all showed up, and we just roofed in a matter of probably 3 hours. We had done his whole roof. Well, come to find out, that wasn't his house. It was his girlfriend's house.
Now, how old did you say
he was? This guy was a player, and he was in his late 80s.
Okay.
And he told me, look, you got to come downstairs because my girlfriend is going to want to fix you some lemonade. Mm-hmm. So we said, okay. Well, we went downstairs, and the door opened up, and the Ancient of Days was standing there. This old woman was like literally 100-plus years old.
Okay.
And she's like, come inside. You know, I want to make you some lemonade. Well, when she opened it, you know, we know, man, it's going to take hours. We're just like, oh, Lord, help us. So she opens up the refrigerator, and my wife saw inside the refrigerator there was no food. It was just all there was lemonade, and there was some condiments, and that's it.
Wow.
So she whispered to me, Troy, I'm going to go down to Kroger. I'm going to go buy this old lady some groceries. I'll be back in a few minutes. Leanna came back about 45 minutes later and brought her these groceries. Mm-hmm. And the old man said, well, what about me? I don't have any groceries. And we said, okay, well, you know what? We'll take you down to Kroger too. And he said, well, I've got another girlfriend across the street, and she doesn't have any groceries.
He had another girlfriend.
Yeah, he did.
Okay.
And this was a World War II community in Sampson Park, Texas, is where this was at. So I said, okay. So we went across the street and picked her up. We took all of them. We told them, said, listen, mm-hmm. we'll be back next Saturday, and we'll just come and we'll check on y'all. We came back the next Saturday to check on them, and they had several friends, very elderly people, they're waiting on us, asking if we could help them with food. That was 17 years ago, and it turned into a food bank. Within 3 months of that first Saturday, we were taking food to 71 isolated elderly people every single Saturday.
Oh my goodness.
And once you start that, it's not like you can just turn it off, you know.
Because I'm sure they were calling up their friends and
telling
their relatives and their friends.
It took off like wildfire. We just couldn't believe it. And it wasn't like we were trying to start a food ministry. We were just trying to help one person that was
right,
in front of us.
Right.
And then it turned into something. And then you know what started happening, Janine, is miracles started happening, and people started getting saved, and God started doing amazing things. So 17 years later.
Okay, so let me just put you on pause one minute. So, okay, you would go and you would distribute this food to the people, and it opened up a door for prayer and for ministry and to talk and to encourage.
Yes.
And people started giving their lives to God.
That's exactly right.
That is so awesome.
You know what? You serve people. You know, Jesus says, whoever wants the greatest authority needs to be the greatest servant. When you serve people, Janine, you have an authority to run off hell from out of their life.
Glory to God.
And that's what happens when you serve people.
Could you just say that again to the listeners, Pastor?
Yeah, Jesus says that whoever wants the greatest authority needs to become the greatest servant.
Yes.
And when you serve people, you receive a God-given anointing for a grace to run hell right out of people's life.
Thank you, Jesus.
That there's an authority in your life to bless people. There's an authority in your life to bring the love of God into people's life.
Yes, yes.
So, and we started seeing that happen. In fact, we started seeing incredible miracles. I got to share this miracle with you. You're going to love this. There was this real sweet old lady that every time we would take groceries to her, she would never let us in her house. And after several months, I began to be concerned that maybe she was scared. scared of me or something. Mm-hmm. I'm a big old ugly guy, you know, so I'm like, I totally understand. And I said, honey, are you scared of us or something? She said, no, I'm not afraid of you. And I said, well, how come you always come to the gate and you don't let us come in? And she said, well, because, she said, I've owned my house for over 50 years. She said, my roof has leaked for over 30 years. And the rain has come into my house. It's ruined my walls. It has ruined my hardwood floors, and they're all warped. And I'm ashamed to let anybody see my house.
Aww.
And so I said, well, honey, why don't you let me pray with you that God will do a miracle and give you new roof, new walls, and a new floor. And she's like, no, you need to pray for somebody else. I'm like, no, ma'am, I want to pray for you. So I prayed for her. Now, Janine, I prayed a prayer, and it was a bold prayer. Lord, do a miracle. We thank you, God, that you love my sister, mm-hmm. and you're going to give her a new house. Now, in my mind, as I was praying that, I'm thinking, okay, I'll call this person, and we'll come over, and we'll do a new roof. I know this person who does mm-hmm. sheetrock work, and mm-hmm. I know this person who can do floors, and I'm trying to put all that together in my mind. But I prayed the prayer and believed God for really good things. So that week, I worked on it all week. The very next Saturday, we came pulling up there, and that old lady is standing out there jumping up and down and doing a jig, and she's like, oh, Pastor Troy, I need to talk to you. And I'm like, what happened? This woman has a new roof, new walls, new floor. And I said, what happened? We prayed that prayer on a Saturday. On Monday, the city was putting up a new telephone pole next to her house, and it fell onto her house through her roof into the wall, and it was an election year, and they redid her roof, redid her walls, and redid her floor.
Praise God. Glory to God. So, talking about this ministry of servitude and the food bank, you did not have a plan to do that.
Oh, no.
You just had the heart. You had a heart of servitude.
Yes.
And God had the plan.
That's right.
And you fell into the will of the Father. Glory to God. We get ready to have church in the studio today. You fell into the will of your Heavenly Father. And all the ministry began to manifest.
Yes.
When you lined up to your call. Glory to God. Glory to God.
He's good. He has such a good heart. You know, all these years later, Janine, that food bank, the Open Door Food Bank, mm-hmm. we give away over 2 million pounds of food a year in Johnson County to over 21,000 Johnson County residents.
Oh, my goodness.
We give away over 3 million pounds of non-food items every 12 months from January to December, and we support 40 other ministries with their food outreaches.
Okay, so you are familiar with Operation Blessing in Johnson County, because we had Gloria Jones
on. Sure.
And I've worked and volunteered for Gloria
as a
counselor.
Yeah,
good people.
Good people.
That is just so awesome. And so you have sponsors, or you have major corporations that sponsor your food bank? And
well, all the above. You know, we just try. It's a constant rodeo to try and make all that happen. But the Lord has been really, really, really good to us. And we have a food bank. We have 5 acres. We have, whenever we do our food outreach on Saturdays, mm-hmm. there's about 1,500 people that come there. And there's about 150 volunteers who come to help us feed those 1,500 people.
Okay.
We give free professional haircuts.
Yeah, I was going to get to that.
Yeah, I love that.
Now, is that like in season for school, or is this every week?
It's every week.
Praise God.
Well, there's professional haircutters out there who want to come and help us, and that's their ministry, We have a whole clothes section where they can get clothes. And you know what? We want to do it all without any strings attached. We just want to bless people.
Yes.
We want to love people.
Because
we want to encourage people.
Way.
That's right.
That's God's way.
I don't want to make people. What good is it to give people food if you don't treat them right whenever you give it to them? And so we want to love people into the kingdom, and we want to be able to load up people with food and say, for God so loved the world, he gave. So demonstrating the heart of God is so important to us. It's a huge value we have.
Okay. They just told us, you guys, that we have 2 minutes, and this is just so good. So, Pastor Troy, I'm going to invite you back to the show next week.
Awesome.
So that we could do a part two, because I want my listeners to know that there is just so much to this awesome ministry that God has prepared for you, and that you have so obediently fallen into, Pastor.
Thank you.
Would you please pray, say a prayer of servitude and gratitude, and we can close this one out. And I invite my listeners to come back next week, 8:30 a.m. on Saturday mornings right here at 91.3 to hear Pastor Troy Brewer's talk about his ministry. He has orphanages throughout the world, and I mean, he just got back from Israel, and he's getting ready to go where?
To Sierra Leone.
Yeah, so listeners, I want you to stay tuned. Pastor, would you go ahead and pray us out?
Father God, sir, we just come to you, Lord, and we thank you, God, for the reality of your amazing heart, the yes. most amazing heart in all the universe.
Thank you, Father.
I pray, God, that you would use us to display your amazing heart. I lift up every single listener, everyone here, sir, within the sound of my voice, and I pray, God, that you would give us a heart to know you, as the book of Jeremiah says. I thank you, Lord God, and I love you, sir. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to Vine Life Connection. And don't forget to tune in next week for part two of Pastor Troy Brewer's powerful testimony. For more information, you can go to www.theinterviews.com. This program was brought to you by Vine Life Ministries.